Matthew 14, verse 22 says this. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Church. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Church. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Church. You're going to talk about that. That's something else. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Church.
And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus.
But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Church. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased altogether. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Before you take your seat, just look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
look up."
Look up.
Take your seat.
Look up.
Look up. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We've heard the story preached many times. We've read it many times. We understand it. But there are a couple of things I just want to point out. First of all, as we come to the end of the first month of 2014, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. It's important for us to understand that the strength of our faith will determine our success or our failure. Let me say that again. Our faith will determine whether or not we make it through.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. Our faith will determine whether or not we will make it through. We also have to comprehend that the validity of our faith is based on the promises of God. Have God promised anybody anything in this room?
Yes.
Amen. And when there is no one else to stand, you cannot be defeated standing on the promises of God. And so as we take a look at our text picks up right after Jesus and the disciples have finished feeding a multitude of people. The Bible says it was 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So this was a ministry opportunity where work was involved by the disciples. In other words, they were serving the people. And they had just served over 5,000 people. So, if you will, just allow your spiritual mind's eye to picture that they, after get through serving over 5,000 people, they were tired. Maybe they were a little bit irritated and just needed to relax. And I don't know about you, but there's no better place to relax than to be with Jesus. That's the best place to be. But when I'm reading the scripture, when I'm looking at the scripture, he says immediately or straightway for them to get into the boat. So I'm thinking that something was going on after serving the multitude. Maybe they were talking about people. Maybe they were making fun of folks who really needed a blessing. Maybe they were basking in the glow of serving such a multitude. Maybe they were so tired that they were overly sensitive to anything that was said to them. You know when you're tired and somebody says something to you that's usually funny, but it's not so funny when they say it this time because you just might be a little bit tired of what you have encountered on that day. Something has gone on that has gotten Jesus' attention. And so whatever it is, Jesus immediately makes them get in the boat to go to the other side. Amen? And so he wanted to get them away from that scene. There are some things, allow me to just tell you for a second, there are some things that God is trying to get you away from. There are some people he's trying to get you away from. There's some situation he's trying to pull you out of, and he's trying to send you over to the other side, but some of us are being hard-headed. Amen? That was for free. I'm not going to charge you for that one, because some of you are hard-headed, you're stiff-necked, and you're not doing what God is trying to do in your life. And so, in addition, Jesus also takes this time to go pray. Amen? To pray with himself, by himself. And so he goes up into the mountain after he sends his disciples in a boat over to the other side. And so scripture will let you know that this was taking some time because they were out there for a while. The where they were at was no bigger than 4 or 5 miles wide. But somehow the storm comes out of nowhere. Verse 24 says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. How many of you know that storms will come out of nowhere to do something in your life? Amen? When you least expect a storm, it shows up right on time. And despite you being obedient, some of you, how many have been obedient to the word of God and to the word, to the will of God? You, despite serving, despite doing what you were supposed to do, storms will continue to come. They come in your family. They come on the job. They come in your finances. Just when you thought, amen, they come in the pews. Y'all talk back to me. And when you get a handle on things just right, when you're getting a handle on some things, when you feel your strength coming back and you feel like everything is going to be all right and look like things are about to take a turn for the good in your life, it seems like that a storm shows up right when you are getting ready to take off and just go and do everything that God would have you to do. A storm shows up in your life, amen, and life at that time gets dark. Worry begins to set in. Stress causes your body to malfunction because it was something that you were not expecting to take place. This storm comes and is pushing you from pillar to post, and you begin to worry. You're stressing, but right in the middle of the storm is where you will find my Lord and my Savior, and his name is Jesus. Right in the middle of what you're going through, Jesus will show up right in the middle of your storm. He will show up and come to right where you are. There is no mountain too high. There is no river too deep that he will not come to right where you are.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody give God a holler, because he'll show up. Some of y'all ain't saying that. You better not have no storms come in your life. Storms will come in and cause you to holler out, y'all.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus!
Anybody had any storms and all you can say is, Lord?
Yes, sir.
You say, Lord, you know. Since William says she couldn't even talk, she could just, But the Bible says he'll translate your moans and your groans. When you can't say nothing, he'll take what you are moaning and groaning about.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.
In the middle of the storm, he shows up.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 14 and 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea, and
Yeah.
It was between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And, how many of you know trouble don't know no time?
That's right.
Amen.
Trouble come at any time. Come while you're trying to get some rest. And come while you're trying to get some peace. And it comes at the worst time. Somebody said it robs you. It robs you of your peace. It robs you of your sleep. And when trouble comes, you can't sleep at night. You find yourself staring up at the ceiling. And you hear everything that's passing through your windows. And you can't find no peace in the middle of the night because trouble comes at any time. And I don't know about you, but I've seen trouble create chaos and cause some people to utterly lose their mind. Folks that you thought that was on your side, folk that you thought had your back, when trouble come, you can't find them. You can't locate them. When trouble come, it just seems like all hell breaks loose. Amen. It causes dissension amongst people. Amen. When trouble come, folk don't want to be your friend no more. Folks start talking about you and pointing a finger at you and start saying all manner of ill against you that it must have been something you've done to get in the hell situation that you're in. But these brothers here didn't do nothing for the wind to come upon them. They were just doing what the Lord. It's something that when you do what the Lord says to do and the storms come and trouble comes out of nowhere and you're doing just what he said to do. They were told to go to the other side and they were simply being is there anybody here that's being obedient but trouble still finds you every now and then? I got a remedy. I got a secret to tell you that the more trouble you get in following the will of God, the bigger your blessing is. Y'all stay with me. The more hell you God is getting ready to turn up in your life. Y'all better get with me on this. God is getting ready to do some things miraculous in your life. The more hell you go through, the more situations you endure. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up, neighbor. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. God is getting ready to absolutely turn some things around in your life. All you have to do is stand on the promises. You got to stand on the promises. What do you mean stand on the promises? When it looks like hell is going crazy in your life, you still got to be able to say hallelujah anyhow. You still got to be able to praise God in the midst of the situation. You still got to be able to give God glory. You still got to be able to dance your dance. You still got to be able to do what you're supposed to do in God. When hell seems to break through in your life, you can't stop praising.
Right. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, my God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Jesus is always available.
Jesus.
Yes.
When trouble breaks out.
Jesus.
Especially in the midnight hour.
Ooh.
I got some testimonies where in the midnight hour.
Well.
If he didn't show up, I would have lost my mind. In the midnight hour, if God hadn't talked to my mind, if he hadn't calm me down, I would have went crazy. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself, but there are some things where if God hadn't handled it, if God hadn't worked some things out right when he worked it out, I absolutely would have lost control. Amen. Does anybody feel like you're on the edge of life? You're about to lose control of some things and you feel like you're ready to cuss some folk out. You're ready to stick them, cut them, shoot them, whatever, because they have gotten on your last nerve. There are some things that if God had to talk back to you when you was on the edge getting ready to lose it, you would have lost it. Thank God I didn't lose it.
Hallelujah.
My mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Jesus speaks to them. And this is where it gets a little confusing. Because here you are. You out in the middle of the ocean. You 4 or 5 miles out. You're in the middle of the sea. Jesus shows up. And he says, be of good cheer. Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
How can you expect me to have joy when I feel like I'm sinking? How is it that some folk can tell you give God glory when you're going through all manner of transition in your life? When you're going through some things and you feel like, and you don't feel like praising God, and you don't feel like saying to God be the glory, And here you are in the middle of the boat, just like these disciples are. You've been doing everything God told you to do, but the storm has come up on your life. And Jesus shows up, and before he even does anything with the atmosphere, he speaks to the person, and he says, be of good cheer. Wait a minute, how are you going to tell me to be of good cheer? Because what you don't know is that when he shows up, he's in full control of everything that takes place. From that moment, y'all ought to talk back to me. From that moment on, he takes control of the entire situation. So you might look like you're sinking, but when Jesus shows up, the first thing he says to the disciples is, be of good cheer. Notice the dynamic here, that he doesn't speak to the winds and the waves yet. They're still hitting you on the side. There's still hell breaking out in your life, but he's telling you, be of good cheer. In other words, be able to praise in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your circumstance, be able to give me some glory, be able to put a smile on your face when everything is going backwards in your life, be able to get your shout on when you shouldn't even be shouting. You should be losing your mind, but be of good cheer and give God some glory. Some of you don't know how to give God glory when you're going through something. Is anybody going through anything? I'm going through something right now. Finances is funny, but I'm going to give God glory. People is tripping, but I'm going to give God glory. I ain't got enough time, but give God glory. You got to give God glory in the middle of your situation. How dare you, Jesus? You show up in my life, and you gonna tell me to be of good cheer while I'm in the boat sinking. I'm sinking, and you standing out there on the water. You ain't going nowhere, but I'm sinking. You gonna tell me to be of good cheer? Oh my God! What that shows, verse 27, tells them don't be afraid. So now they were afraid. Sometimes you can get so afraid, even the most saved, sanctified, saint can get so afraid that they forget that Jesus is in full control. Mm-hmm. See, they weren't expecting Jesus to save them. They were out there all by themselves. Jesus didn't say anything. We're just out there. Have you ever just been out there? And you don't know if he's going to show up or not. And you don't expect him to save you because maybe you thought the hole that you was in was too deep for him to go get you. And maybe you thought the situation that you was in, that he wouldn't show up. Or the gutter that you're trying to get out of. Or the situation that you're trying to crawl out of. But I got a word for you. Jesus still saved. Hallelujah. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. He saves you when you're at your worst. He'll bring you out of the muck and the mire. They wasn't expected. And the thing I love about Jesus is that he don't tap into our emotional state when we're going through something. He shows up because he's God. And he don't need your permission to show up in your life. He shows up because he needs to save you. You need to come out of that thing. You need to be blessed. You need to come out victorious on the other side. And when we run out of strength, when we run out of energy, when we become burdened, we get stressed. We lose the will to do anything. Jesus shows up and tells us to be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Be of good cheer in the midst of calamity. Get your praise on in the midst of the setback. Shout the victory when doubt tries to creep in. Give God a holler. Look what happens. Jesus doesn't speak to the winds. He doesn't calm the storm. His first focus is to calm the disciples. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you got trouble in your life, calm down.
Calm down.
You ain't going to die. Tell them, calm down. You ain't going to die. Tell them, boo-boo, calm down. Homie, calm down. You ain't going to die. This thing ain't going to kill you. It ain't going to take you.